Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for coming today. Can I just start there? That it's good to see you. We put so much work and effort and focus on Easter Sunday, as we should, but we sometimes can lose sight that, hey, 7 days after Easter Sunday, there's another one coming around. And so thanks for coming. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for leaning in, because the beautiful thing is the resurrection and life, the hope, the joy that we celebrate on Easter is just as true today. That's good news. That is good news. So thanks for being here, leaning in. And we're going to begin in this afterglow of Easter addressing one critical question, at least one question that's on my mind. Now, I understand in the afterglow of Easter, there could be a lot of questions on your mind. A question in our house is, who can I give away some of this candy to? Some of, parents, you know what's up. I see that holy hand back there. I got you. So after like two or three egg hunts, two sets of grandparents, great-grandparents, we've got more candy than any human being should have or even believe consuming. So it's a real question. Where can some of this candy go? I just found my answer right here. Another question you might be wondering. So peeps are going to start to disappear, like the little marshmallow things. But here's the important question. How long do you leave the package open for that optimum staleness? Who's my peep eaters in here? All right, because fresh peeps are not where it's at. They got to get a couple days stale. I'm just saying. Love it or hate it, a couple days stale. But you got to find that day. Is it like 3 days, 5 days? Where's that at? It's an important post-Easter question. Some of you might be wondering, man, when is my next day off? That's a legit question. Memorial Day's coming the end of May. Just hang in there. We can do it together. There's all kinds of questions that might be floating around your mind post-Easter, but the one that's lingering on my mind is a little bit different than peeps or who can I give some candy to. The question I've been processing, and we're going to kind of work through together, is just two words. What now? I mean, doesn't that seem like a good follow-up question to the big celebration of Easter? What now? What next, maybe? What next? You see, we've studied the cross. We spent all the several weeks leading up to it, looking and trying to understand what the death of Jesus on the cross means for us. We looked at the stories that surrounded it and how that story and the power of Christ Jesus might be made alive in us, how that's relevant for us today. And then last Sunday, we celebrate that death is no longer the final answer. Jesus has overcome sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we take hope and joy and excitement in that. And we find in that truth that Jesus wants to bring that resurrection life, that forgiveness and healing to life within us. That's the good news. That we can belong to the family of God and be forgiven and redeemed. And He desires to transform us. And He will if we let Him. And so in the afterglow of that good news, now what? How do we work out this good news celebration that we just came out of in Easter? If we take this what now or what next question to the scriptures, there's a lot of content there. I want to focus in on one concise answer that I think most directly gets at the answer of what now. And this is coming from the Apostle Paul, written in Philippians 2, verse 12. He says this, think about what now, what next, how do we answer that? He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, here it is, the answer. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So what now? We got to work this thing out. The language there that Paul is using is that of exercise. It's that what God has put within us through Christ Jesus, what we have received in faith, we begin to work out in real life. We've got to exercise our faith. Like any relationship, if you want, let's reframe this a little bit. If we think about relationship with Jesus, if you have human relationships here on earth, you know that any meaningful, deep relationship takes work. Husband's not the place for amen, okay? Thanks for being quiet. No. But seriously, relationships take work, don't they? They take intentionality, they take investment, they take constant nurturing. Friends, if that's true in our human relationships, how much more so in our relationship with Jesus? That's what we're talking about. That's working it out. That's giving attention and focus to the everyday things we invest in our relationship with Jesus. And that's why we've titled this new teaching series, Everyday Faith. Because our relationship with the Lord and growing in His likeness is an everyday investment in relationship with Him. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into the everyday tools, the everyday practices that go into building our relationship with Jesus. Yes, building our faith in Him. And today, our series intentionally starts with prayer. We're beginning everyday faith with prayer. It's our relational lifeline to the Lord. And so right at the onset of this series, at this teaching specifically, as we seek to learn about everyday faith, if you're going to ask the important question of, okay, Lord, how do I live this thing out? Our first look is to the life of Jesus as it's revealed in the Scriptures. Because He, Jesus, is our model of life and faith. And so when we have a question like, how do we live this thing out? What do we do now? We have the Gospels. We have the life of Jesus to look at and to model our life after. And so that's what we're going to do today for this idea of prayer. As you look to the New Testament, as you look to Jesus' life, as it's written there, perhaps our first lesson would be that we see Jesus praying a lot. He prays a lot. And so if you think about that, if you're not sure if prayer is important or, well, God already knows, why would I bother? Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. He's the incarnate Son of God. He's God in the flesh, and He prays. That's a pretty good motivator for me, right? If we're going to be like Him, let's pray. But beyond that, what are some of the lessons we see? So what we're going to do today in this talk is we're going to look at the life of Jesus. I want to pull out three things. There's 30, but y'all want to get to El Paso before 12:30. We're going to look at three things and then try to apply that to our life. That's our goal today. Are you in? Does that sound okay? Yep. Hey, I got two people, second service. All right, it was only one in first. Praise the Lord, we're getting there. All right, if you have your copy of Scripture, let's look towards John chapter 11. We're going to look at some snapshots of prayer in Jesus' life. One of the things that stands out to me as you look at how Jesus prays is that He often begins His prayers with one word, Father. Father. You say, well, Pastor, what's that matter? Well, over 60 times in the Gospels, Jesus begins His prayer with that word, Father. Father. Let's jump into John chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. It says there, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, He's praying, okay? Basically, you could say, then Jesus prays, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe You have sent Me. So what's going on here is that Jesus is standing outside of the tomb of His friend Lazarus, who has died. Now, Lazarus is 4 days dead at this point, but Jesus is about to bring him back to life. This is one of the greatest miracles we see recorded in the Gospels. But before He does that, before He performs this miracle, He prays. He knows what's going to happen, but He prays. And the way He begins that prayer is with the word, Father. Father. If you think about this idea, that term is a relational term. It's a relational term. It's a relationship of trust and dependence and safety and joy. And I know today that not everyone's relationship with their earthly father might be a positive one. So what you can see in this is an invitation to talk to your best and closest friend. That person that you know you can call on when you need to process some thoughts, when you're wrestling with some things, when you just need to let it out, that person, that relationship is a place of safety, it's a place of processing, it's a place of openness and comfortableness. That's what we should see in how Jesus approaches prayer. It is relational. And so as we look at that and you say, okay, how does that matter for my life? Our invitation to prayer is an invitation to relationship. This is not a religious obligation. Somebody should say amen. Amen. This is an opportunity for relationship with Jesus. That's prayer. That's prayer. It's an investment. It's an investment in our relationship with God the Father. Prayer is an opportunity in relationship, not an obligation of religion. As we keep looking at the life of Jesus, so he prays relationally, his relationship with the Father, you also see that Jesus prays about some really practical stuff. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when Jesus was about to pick the 12 disciples, who's going to be the inner 12, right? He prays. He sets aside time to go seek the heart of the Father. He prays, Lord, who should it be? And he picks the 12. Before Jesus is about to break bread to feed 5,000 people, he prays. He gives thanks. He prays. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus is looking at his friends around the table, and he knows that their world is about to be rocked. He prays. And the birds want to join in the festivities. But Jesus sees his friends in need, and he prays. And so what we see in that is that prayer just flows from the everyday life of Jesus. Wherever he's at, he's praying. A little later in the New Testament, Paul, I think, gives us some words to wrestle with. 1 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18. Paul writing, he says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing," or pray continually, you could say. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, a word about praying continually. Paul is not saying that we continually walk around with our hands folded, heads down, eyes closed. That's not going to go well. What he's inviting us to is an ongoing conversation with the Lord. That anything and everything we encounter, we're just processing it live time with the Lord. So what he's doing, he's inviting us to pray while we're driving. Again, you don't have to pull off Route 33 and stop and pray. We might ought to some mornings the way that road is, but what he's saying is, let's just have a conversation going up the road. Let's pray while we're mowing the grass. Let's pray while we're cooking dinner. Let's pray while we're taking a shower. That's the idea of pray continually, that it's just an ongoing conversation with the Lord. It's practical. It's a part of our everyday life. We're always investing and attentive to our relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. That's prayer practically. And one more thing I think we see in the life of Jesus is that he makes it a priority. Let's look at one story in his life that I think can really help us grapple with how important prayer was for Jesus. This is going to be in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 32. It says there, "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he, Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." So what's happening here? Mark 1, Mark's gospel, the first chapter, records a really, really busy day for Jesus. I just wonder, did any of you this past week have a really busy day? Like sun up to sundown, it was just on. All right, so you are primed to know what we're talking about here. If you've ever had a busy day, you can relate to this. So let's unpack Jesus' day for a minute. He's been teaching in the local house of worship. If you've ever taught, led a class, gave a presentation, anything like that, like, you know, it's an investment. You're pouring it all in. It's exhausting. Jesus has been doing that. While he's there at the synagogue, somebody comes up who's possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, and he heals them. He casts that out. So not only is Jesus teaching and preaching, now supernatural power is flowing from him. So that scene closes. They head over to his buddy Pete's house. Well, Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever, is what Luke's gospel tells us. And Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, the proof that he loves everyone. I'm just saying. It was his mother-in-law. But he heals his mother-in-law. More supernatural power. So this started out in the temple preaching that morning, and it's continued into Peter's house. And the text here in Mark says that the whole city comes to the door. And Jesus begins and continues healing and conversing and setting people free. This goes on into the night. I have a question for you. When you've been on the go all day, I mean from alarm going off to your head hits the pillow, you're just on. People are coming and going, you're working hard. What is your ideal plan for the next morning? Snooze button, anyone? Right? Like, and maybe this is just confession for me. You hit those days, you're like, man, I'd like to sleep in a little bit tomorrow. Like, I'm going to take a minute to just recover. Right? Who? Okay, it's just me. I'll move on. What does Jesus do? Let's look at verse 35. Now in the morning, after this really busy day, on into the night. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus prioritized prayer. Like nobody would have faulted him for smacking the snooze button one time and going, Pete, what's for breakfast? Right? But he doesn't do that. You see, he wants to invest in his relationship with the Lord, with his Father. So he gets up early before everybody else, gets dressed, and he slips out of the house, and he prays. He prays. As we look to the life of Jesus, I know there's a lot more we could learn about prayer, but I wonder today, if we just press pause with what we've got so far, I wonder, does your everyday experience with prayer look like Jesus' experience with prayer? Does your prayer life, if we were going to look at prayer in your story, would it line up with Jesus's? Do we take time? Do you take time? Make space for prayer when you're super busy or maybe really tired? Do we see prayer truly as an opportunity to grow in relationship with the person who loves us the most in the whole wide world? Is that how we view it? What adjustments do you think this morning you would need to make to pray more like Jesus? Well, can I understand that the conversation of prayer, when that subject comes up, that a lot of times there's feelings of guilt that can come with it. Trust me, I got them too. Even preparing this. We get those feelings of, oh man, I know I should pray more. Maybe we battle the condemnation from the enemy or something that would say, I'm not even a good Christian because I'm not praying enough. Yeah, those feelings. And I just want to say, this series, this conversation is not about making anyone feel bad. This is not about heaping on shame and guilt for what you're doing or not doing. What this is all about, it's about looking, each one of us, looking to the person of Jesus and desiring to be more like him. looking at the life of Jesus, how did he interact? How did he live out his faith? And just saying, yes, Lord, I want to be like you. That's what this is about. And so what that does, friends, that levels the field. Because whether you've been a Christian for 7 days or 70 years, we all can take a step to look like Jesus, to live our life like he does. And so this is not a shame on you. This is an invitation to say, won't you come? Let's pursue Jesus and live like him. That's the invitation. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to seek to grow in some of the foundational practices that we know throughout generations help build our faith. You see, we have everything we do in our day-to-day life. Like we brush our teeth. Some of you have to worry about combing your hair. But we do those things before we go anywhere or do anything, right? Like some of you would not dream of stepping into your day without taking a shower first. So as we see that in our everyday life, let's ask the question of our faith life with Jesus, what are the things that I get to do that I want to do every day because it matters? What's the brushing your teeth equivalent in our faith life? What's the changing the clothes in our faith life? That's what we're going to look at. The next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some of those practices, some of those tools, if you will. Things like reading your Bible. Man, we got to get in the Word. Things like serving and fellowship and community and even humility. And so each week, we're going to just take a dive, take a look in those things and try to get practical, hands-on help for how to grow and be like Jesus. And we started this series with prayer. That was on purpose. Because, friends, that's our relational lifeline to Jesus. If I truly mean, and we truly mean, that prayer is an opportunity and a chance to live like Jesus, it's not a religious obligation. It truly is an opportunity in relationship. And so we started with prayer. And even as I say that, you still might be wrestling with those feelings. You might feel like you're missing something or you're just not doing it right. Maybe you're frustrated about your prayer life. Maybe you're frustrated that you've tried it before, you want to pray, but it just doesn't seem to ever come together. If you can relate to those feelings today, I just want you to know that you're not alone. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy that's telling you you're less than or you're terrible. You're not alone. For generations, followers of Jesus have needed to seek help in living out their faith. And we see that true of prayer. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, there's a story there where Jesus is praying, and that's really what we find in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So what's happening here in this text? Jesus has just spent some time praying as he often did. His disciples were watching his prayer life. And he came back, Jesus finishes praying, his disciples say, "Jesus, teach us to do that. Teach us to pray." Friends, that's exactly what we're doing today. We're looking at the life of Jesus going, "Teach us." This is our posture. And this is what the disciples ask. And so let's not breeze past this too quickly. Maybe the most important thing we take away from today is we look at the life of Jesus and him praying, and our honest prayer would be, "Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray." Maybe we start there. If you're not sure, you have those feelings, "Lord, teach me to pray." The beautiful thing preserved for us in Scripture is that we have Jesus' answer. And that's what we find in verse 2. So Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When Jesus' disciples looked at his life and said, Lord, teach us to do that, he gave them this, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, to be sure, just like any relationship, there's times in our relationship with the Lord when we need to listen. I don't want to rush past that. But in this context, when they asked, Lord, teach us to pray, he gave them words to speak. And within those words, it is really an embodiment of Jesus' outlook on prayer. It's personal, it's relational. How does it start? Our Father. It's relational. It invites us into the Lord's rule, into his authority and power when we say, Thy kingdom come. It invites our surrender. It invites us to come under his authority when we pray, Thy will be done. The prayer is practical physically and spiritually. It prays, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, will you give me the carbs and calories I need to sustain today? That's practical. It's also practical spiritually because he prays or teaches us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive others. Wow. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you're here today and you're wondering how to get started in prayer, or you're here today and you've been praying your whole life, this is the model that Jesus gave us. It embodies what he believes about prayer, and he's given it to you and I. And he says, here, live into this. So Jesus has given us the words to speak, and we should pray that. Pray those words slowly, intentionally. Think about what it means. I don't know about you. I really got to think about, what does hallowed be thy name mean? We don't walk around saying that. So as we pray that, Lord, may your name be, may your name be honored as holy. Yeah, that's it. Think about those words. Pray them slowly and intentionally and see what the Lord will do. And as Jesus has given us the teaching, the band's going to make their way forward in response. Jesus has given the teaching and he gives us that embodiment of prayer. Let's not forfeit our part in that too. Because there's steps that you and I can take to help facilitate prayer in our life. We can prioritize it, right? We can prioritize it. Does anybody use calendar alerts in their phone? Yeah. Does anybody use alarms in their phone? What if we set a calendar, and this might not be spiritual enough for some of you, you'll be okay. What if we set a calendar alert or an alarm to pray? Pick a time of day that you know normally that you could take 2 minutes. Set an alarm. 3:55, whatever. Pray. What if we got that practical with it? Pray. What if we said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get up 5 minutes early tomorrow morning and just sit still. And I'm going to talk to you. Maybe it's I'm going to stay up 5 minutes later. Just don't go to sleep. But see, what could we do to get practical with prioritizing prayer? What would it look like for you to bring prayer into your everyday life? To pray about what you need, about what's happening in your day. Lord, you know I've got a big test at school this week and I'm struggling. Lord, you know I've got a coworker at work that I'm really struggling to show your love to. Lord, I've got a relationship that is falling apart. What if we just prayed what was on our heart? Respectfully, I mean, don't hear what I'm not saying, but what if we just cried out to him like a father or a close friend? What if our prayer was just simply, Lord, I'm struggling. I need you. What would that look like for you? And friends, at the end of the day, we can talk about all the metrics and the things There is no substitute for just doing it. We just got to pray. And we're going to spend a few minutes doing that today. I have a gift for you. Two tools for prayer. These aren't the only two. These are just free ones for you today. The first is a little notebook. It's just a paperback notebook. It's blank. It's got lines in it. I don't know about you. Something I can wrestle with and struggle with in prayer is that my mind could be accurately depicted if two squirrels were running through a circus. Like, that's in here a lot. Maybe some of you can relate. It's like ducks in a row. It's like, no, I got squirrels in a circus. What are you talking about? When you start writing things, it's a way to slow down and focus your mind because you have to give a lot more intentionality to it, right? Maybe you can focus. Maybe this is just a place. Hey, you remember last week I prayed about that relationship, and look, 7 days later, God answered it. Writing stuff down is just a way, a tool to get practical with prayer, to live into it. So there's tool number one. There's enough here for everybody. Take two if you need them. Grab one. They're up front here at the foot of the cross. They're in a table in the back. If we run out, we've got more at Next Steps. Take a journal. Grab a pen if you need one. Second tool, a two-sided card. Okay, they're all the same, just different colors. The first side takes the word pray, P-R-A-Y, and turns it into an acrostic. And it says, praise, repent, ask, and yield. This can also help with squirrels in a circus. Because it can say, praise, begin your prayer like this. Thank you, Father, for. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for a little bit of rain yesterday. It's just a tool, but it can help you know where to start. 7 days or 70 years, it's a tool. The backside takes the Lord's Prayer, what we just read in Luke's Gospel, and it breaks it down, line by line. Our Father, begin your prayer mindful that we are the child of the Most High God. Man, that's good news. That we are a part of a family. Man, we pray for more than just ourselves. That's just the first line. So these two tools together, you can take whichever one you need or both. It's for you. Would you take from wherever you're at today in your relationship with Jesus, in your everyday faith, would you take one step into the opportunity of grace to grow and be like Jesus? To invest in your relationship with Him, to be more like Him. I'm going to give you a third gift today, and that's some time. The band and the worship team's going to continue to do just kind of what they're doing, and we're going to pause for a couple minutes, and I would just invite you to pray. Right now, you might not have prayed today. You might not have prayed this week. This is not about guilt. This is about an opportunity right here, right now, to invest in your relationship with Jesus and pray. Pray what's on your heart. I would invite you, you can change your posture if you want to kneel. If you want to kneel and turn your chair into an altar, if you want to bow your head and just close your eyes, that's okay. If you want to stand and walk, that's okay. Just don't miss this opportunity to pray. It's a gift in our busy world. Let's pray. I'm going to begin, and then I'm going to be quiet, and we can pray. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks today. Lord, thank you for your word that has preserved your prayer life for us, Lord, and so many things, of course. But Lord, my heart is not that we would view prayer as a religious obligation, that if we don't get it right, you're going to be somehow disappointed. But Lord, that we would reframe prayer to be the opportunity of a lifetime to converse with you. Lord, you were there when the earth was not. You spoke it all into existence. Lord, you gave your one and only Son to die on a cross for my sin, for our sins. Lord, that's a love we don't understand. And yet somehow in all of that, you invite us into conversation and relationship through prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Let's just take a few minutes. Talk to the Lord today. Share your heart with Him. Pastor Terry and I will be in the back. If you would like to be anointed today, there's power in praying together. It's another posture of prayer together. We'll be glad to anoint you just to remind you of the Lord's presence in your life and attentiveness to you. So if you would like for someone to pray with you, you can get up anytime. Just make the most of the opportunity. You can come get the two-sided cards. If your squirrels have already taken off through the circus, come get a card. It's okay. Let's pray together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.